Good morning, St. John. And happy Mother's Day to all the mamas in the house. Of course, you know, I've got to recognize my wife, the lovely mother of my child, First Lady Felicia Brooks. Amen. She would wave your hand, but oh, there she goes. I got blown a kiss. Amen. Just so grateful for her. As you can see, she is mothering right now. and she even, you know, does her best to take care of our son Jason while managing the slides for us. So thank you. I know it's work. It's a lot of work, especially when we change things up. But just thank you so much, babe. And then, of course, my own mother, who is not in the, who is actually working on Zoom, I believe, right now. She's making sure that everybody online can see the service. Thank you, Deaconess Earlene Brooks. She's in the vestibule for those of us in the sanctuary. She's in the vestibule, making sure that making sure online is taken care of. Amen. So thank God for mothers. I thank God that God continues to take care of us through our mothers. And I understand that today is not all happy, happy, joy, joy. Okay. I praise God that I'm able to celebrate on both accounts, my wife and my mom. But I understand that there are some of us who are struggling today. And for whatever reason it may be, just know that God loves you and that you're going to be all right. Amen. And so with that said, I want us to turn to the book of Luke. Please turn with me to the book of Luke, the second chapter. If you don't know where Luke is and you're holding a physical Bible, there is a table of contents. There is a table of contents in your Bible. And if you look in the New Testament section, it'll say Old Testament, then New Testament. If you look in the New Testament section, then you will see Matthew, then Mark, then Luke. Turn to that page number, that is Luke. Then you're going to turn to the big number 2. That is the second chapter. And then once you're there, you're going to turn to the 51st verse. Verse 5:1. Luke 2:51. Now, some of you are like me. You know, some of y'all might want to make sure this sermon ends early, because some of y'all got Mother's Day activities planned. Trust me, I understand, but the Lord is going to help us today. Amen. And we want to be able to make sure that we have time. And of course, while I'm trying to get it to you, I'm trying to get my my things up, and that's okay because we're just going to have to move how we're moving today. Amen. Book of Luke, second chapter, 51st verse. When you have it, say amen. Still need some time, say wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
All right, I'm the only one. I'm holding y'all up. Amen. That's good. When the pastor's holding y'all up, that's a good thing. Amen. That means we're doing all right. I try to have everything set and ready before it comes up, and sometimes it resets on me. So that's what happened right now. But we all right today. So Luke, second chapter, 51st verse. I'm going to read it out of the Christian Standard Bible version. You will find similar words printed in your text. It reads as follows. It says, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart." The title of today's sermon is as follows: "You're never too big for your mama." You're never too big for your mama. Today is Mother's Day. And of course, on Mother's Day, we want to honor and respect our mothers. In fact, when we talk about honor, the only way you can honor your mother is if you respect them. That makes sense, right? You know, it does no good trying to honor your mother and you don't even respect your mother. Are we on the same page here? You know, it does no good to send flowers and cards and do all these dinners and everybody knows that you don't even respect her. And in fact, it's actually a little annoying. You know, when somebody wants to do all of these things for you, but you know they don't respect you. And they want to show how good of a son or daughter they are, and you know they don't respect you. It's actually a little annoying on a Mother's Day to get that kind of treatment. So in order to honor our mothers, and yes, this not only does this mean our mothers who are here, but for those of us who have mothers that have gone home, how do we honor our mothers? In fact, let me say it like this. Knowing that you have to respect your mother, how can you tell? Or let me say it like this. How can someone tell if you respect your mom? How can somebody do that? How can somebody tell that you respect your mom? Is it because of the bouquet of flowers that you present on Mother's Day? Is that how you can tell somebody respects their mom? Is it because of all the nice things that they'll say when they get up and everybody has to say something about their mom? Is that when you can tell that you respect your mom? Well, I would like to propose something, and that comes in the form of the book of Luke, the second chapter. I want you to take lessons from a 12-year-old. And that 12-year-old goes by the name of Jesus Christ. In Luke, this portion of Luke, starting at the 41st verse, it starts to talk about Jesus. Yes, the Son of God, Jesus. Yes, the one we worship, Jesus. Yes, the one we've been talking about this entire time, that Jesus. It talks about when he was 12 years old. And this is really interesting because when in ancient times, people didn't really care to write about people in their childhood. When they wrote about people of old, they always wrote about them as adults and what they did as adults. They never really cared to write about, you know, their birth or how they grew up or whatnot because it just wasn't important. But Luke thought it was so important to mention what 12-year-old Jesus did that he included it. And I want us to key in on this because we can actually learn from a 12-year-old. Verse 41, it says, "Every year, his parents," talking about Jesus' parents, "every year his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival." Verse 42, "When he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival." Now, when we talk about a festival, there was the Passover festival, which was basically kind of a big holiday. But what Israel did was not only did they have that day, that was kind of the kickoff, but they had the rest of the week or the following days, I'll say, as sort of kind of holidays as well. So it was kind of a big deal. In America, we don't really do week-long type of holidays. The closest we can get to is kind of like Christmas break. You know, we have Christmas, and then, you know, we kind of get those days off afterwards, hopefully, even though they've been taking that away. But in that time, they had, it was kind of a long, it was an all-week celebration. And what you wanted to do was you wanted to make the pilgrimage, you wanted to make the travel to Jerusalem. So from wherever you were in Israel, you wanted to make the trip to Jerusalem. Because that's where the temple was, that's where the center of life was. So that's what you wanted to do. And so Jesus and his parents did that every single year. So you know they're good Jews, they're very religious, they're very devout, that you know they're on it, right? So again, Jesus is coming up, 12 years old, okay? This is his 12th time coming. Verse 43, it says, after those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it, okay? Verse 44, assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Now, what do you mean traveling party? Mary and Joseph did not hop in their Tesla with Jesus and go to Jerusalem. That's not what happened. Mary and Joseph would have been traveling with a whole lot of family and friends and other relatives. Everybody kind of collectively making this trip down. So we're not talking about just three people going down to Jerusalem. We're talking about potentially hundreds of people all at one time kind of making a big pilgrimage down to Jerusalem. It's a big deal. And so, of course, you know, you would think, you know, if you're Mary, y'all know how it is, right? Y'all got kids and you say, oh, where's Jason? Oh, Jason's with Auntie so-and-so. Oh, okay, that's it. That's all what I needed to know. Y'all know how that goes, right? Oh, okay, well, hey, we're about to leave. Did somebody see Jason? Oh, no, Jason. Yeah, Jason, I think he went with Uncle so-and-so. I think he was with Uncle Mike. Okay, can somebody confirm that? Yeah, I saw him with Uncle Mike. Okay, cool. As long as he's there, you know, it's a lot of people. We need to go. Let's go. Okay? That's kind of how it was going. But in reality, Jesus had stayed back. But the parents did not know. So, of course, again, assuming he's with everybody, they find out that after a whole day of travel, because again, everybody's saying, hey, yeah, I seen Jesus with so-and-so. Wait, I think he was with so-and-so, but I mean, he should be with so-and-so. You see what I'm saying? After a whole day of that, Mary and Joseph, you know, it's time to kind of shut it down. And they start looking for Jesus. And verse 45, when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. Okay, now we talking about respect. Let's keep this in mind. Verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Verse 37, and all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. So again, what's going on? Jesus, 12-year-old, sitting with the rabbis, the priests, the big folks in the temple. And not only is he able to answer
all of the, you know, religious questions. But he's even asking them questions. Now, you've got to understand that this is more than just, oh, wow, Jesus is a good student. It's more than that. It's more than, wow, Jesus is pretty intelligent. He kind of knows his stuff. This is like a child prodigy. The way that they are responding to Jesus is like, this boy is a genius. How in the world, at 12 years old, does Jesus know all this? Y'all have heard of 12-year-olds going to Harvard and Princeton and Yale and graduating with, you know, by the age of 16 with their doctorates. And y'all have heard of that, right? This is what Jesus is essentially doing here. Jesus is a child prodigy. People are astounded. They're like, this guy's going to be somebody someday. So Jesus is a big deal. Oh, and by the way, let us not forget, he is the Son of God at 12 years old. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at 12 years old. He is still the Alpha and Omega at 12 years old. Let's not forget that. So Jesus is a big deal. People are realizing that he's a big deal. He is in the temple. He is just killing it right now. Verse 48, when his parents, who's been searching all over the city for him, when his parents, who have been anxious and worried, and I don't know if any of you have ever actually like lost somebody, like if you had to take care of somebody and you like just lost them, like you literally don't know where they're at. Like you're supposed to watch your niece or nephew or grandchild and y'all at Disneyland, and Disneyland is a huge park, and you have no idea where they're at. And you going through every store, you asking everybody, trying to give descriptions. He's this high with this color hair, and you doing all of that for 3 days? Verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother, listen to this, and his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? This is Mary, y'all. Your father and I, oh Lord, have been anxiously searching for you. Now, it would be understandable for Mary to be upset, right? Again, if you've ever lost somebody when you told them they were supposed to be where they're supposed to be, when in your head you've clearly communicated what was supposed to happen, it's an issue. It's an issue. So yeah, Mary had a little attitude. Yes, she did. She did have a little attitude with Jesus. And then, if you really realize, look at the text, she blamed Jesus for treating them like that. Son, why are you stressing me out? Son, why are you causing all these problems? Son, how could you do this to us? Now, if I'm looking at this correctly, and I'm hoping there's no social workers in here, they should have been reported. Hello? You lost your kids like that? You obviously neglectful. Hello? We in California, right? That's really an example of bad parenting. And then not only did they lose their child, for 3 days, social workers, but then came back and blamed him for being lost. Oh, Lord. Mary and Joseph are totally in the wrong. But they take out all their frustration, all their anxiety, all of that on Jesus and blame their child who they lost. And blame him for all of these problems, all of this trouble. They're clearly wrong. Are we in agreement? They're clearly wrong. Now, of course, they feel the way they feel. I understand that. But to come out and blame their child like that, they're clearly in the wrong. And if Jesus were like some of these kids today, he would have had a field day on them. He would have told them off. He would have been like, well, you shouldn't have left me. Look what I'm doing. I'm getting all this praise over here. Everybody think I'm good over here because I'm in church doing the right thing. And here you come blabbing and blowing me up. If Jesus were like the kids today, let's add something else to it. Jesus was 12 years old. Manhood in Israel started at 13, okay? 13 years old. That's what made you a man as far as in Jewish culture. So today, the equivalent of Jesus being 12 is kind of like a 17-year-old, okay? And so here you go. 17-year-old, and you gonna come and yell at me? And when I know you wrong? When I know you messed up and you gonna spin this and try to put this on me? You gonna try to be verbally and mentally abusive? That's what you're gonna do and put that on me? If Jesus were like these kids today, he might have said that. However, look at how Jesus responds. And like I said, we can learn from a 12-year-old. He says, verse 49, why were you searching for me? Okay, when you say searching, meaning looking around, like all this anxious, you know, why were you looking in all of these places for me? He asked them, didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my Father's house? Now, there's a couple things I want to bring out with that. First of all, how many times has Jesus been up there? 12 times. Okay. So it's very likely that at some point, maybe, you know, when you got, y'all know, if you have kids, you know that. Or if you have to take care of kids and you're going to a big space like Knott's Berry Farm or Magic Mountain or somewhere huge, you always try to prepare them and say, hey, look, if you get lost, right, do this. You can call this number or meet up here or find a trusted adult or something like that. So in my head, again, I'm just assuming, you know, there would have been some type of emergency, you know, prep if a situation like this happened. Now, if they didn't do that, you know, shame on them. But you would think that if you have a young child and they're going to a humongous event like this, you would at least kind of prepare them just in case something happens. So then it would make sense if Jesus is saying, like, didn't you know I would be, you know, here in the temple? Like, this is the meeting place, you know? This is the, you know, the meeting point, remember? That would make sense. But another thing that would make sense is not only if this was, like, the meeting place, but if for whatever reason, Jesus seems to always like being in the temple every year, again, this is his 12th year coming. If Jesus likes to go to the temple all the time, he loves to spend his time in the temple. When you get to the city, what's the first place you're going to look? Temple. If you lost your kids and you know your kids love the Superman ride, love it. Where's the first place you're going to go? Superman ride. Where's the first place you're going to go? You're going to go to the cafeteria. If you know they like the ice cream over there, you know where to go. So again, it's highly unlikely that Jesus just started liking the temple this year. So again, why are you searching around? But this even on another level, this is where Jesus is talking. He's on another level. He says, "Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my Father's house?" Jesus knows that God is his Father. Jesus knows that he is the Son of God. He knows that he was born through a virgin birth. So that means that Joseph is not his real father. He knows this, okay? And this is not no shot at Joseph. This is not saying, you know, stepdads or anything wrong. He just knows that this is his father's house. And here he is. He doesn't live in Jerusalem. He's coming to Jerusalem. He's visiting Jerusalem. And he gets to go have a chance to go to his dad's house. Of course he would be here. Of course he would be in his father's house. And this is really the level that Jesus was trying to speak to them. But verse 50 says, "But they did not understand what he said to them." And this is where we're going to get ready to close. Verse 51. "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart." Jesus is the Son of the living God. He knows it. All things were created for him and by him and through him. Jesus knows. He knows he's intelligent. In fact, he knows that he can, that he's the smartest wherever he is at. He knows he's big stuff. Jesus knows this all at 12 years old. He knows this, and it's not a lie. He knows this. But the fact that he obeyed his parents, even when they were wrong, shows exactly what I'm trying to get at. How can someone tell if you respect your mom? Honestly, when you don't have to. See, respect is not just offering flowers when people are looking. Respect is knowing that your mom is wrong, but still doing what she told you to do anyway. Knowing that your mom got you confused, knowing that your mom got you wrong, but instead of telling her off and getting on her a case and calling her out and this and that, instead of doing all that, just knowing that that's my mom. She gave birth to me. And so even though I know I'm right, even though I know I'm correct, even though I know my mom has got all these things confused, I'm going to respect her anyway. This is the problem. Some of us have gone to school and gotten our bachelor's and master's and doctorates and postdoctorates. So we start thinking, people can't tell me nothing. So when your mom tells you some things that you ought to be doing, you kind of look at her like, look, you barely got your GED. Who you talking to? You know, some of us made a whole lot of money. We done excelled in finance. We're owning our own businesses, and we're lawyers and doctors. And now we're talking to our mom, and she broke, and she talking about, well, you need to save, son. You need to save. Y'all looking at her like, come on. You just don't know what you're talking about. Some of us have gotten that dream husband or dating that girl that's going to turn into this great wife. And here's your mom, she divorced, talking about what you need to do to keep your relationship. Excuse me? And see, that's the thing is, when we get all up and blessed in life, some of us like to walk out with our chest like this. And so our moms can't tell us nothing because we feel like we're better than them. We feel like we've exceeded them. But I'm telling you, you are never too big for your mama. Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. Born through the Virgin Mary, we know the story. Lived for 33 years, did all kinds of miracles, taught all types of good things. But he died on the cross for you and for me. He was buried, and then he rose up from the grave. Jesus knew at 12 years old that this was the path that he had. Jesus knew at 12 years old that his mom, even though he was born through her in a very interesting way, everything created was created by him and through him and for him. His mom exists because of him. Jesus has all the authority, and Jesus could have talked back then and wouldn't have been a sin because he's the Son of God. But he decided to humble himself. He decided to listen to his parents. He decided not to show out and be some cocky kid and some know-it-all. But he decided to show and model humility, the same humility that would take him to the cross, the same humility that would have him dying for your sins and mine, the same humility. He decided to model that at 12 years old. He had a choice to call his mama out and to disrespect her. And yes, we know the stepdad, you know, Joseph, the stepdad was there too. And we could say a whole lot about that, but today is Mother's Day. He chose to submit to his mom, even though he didn't have to. And that's how we could tell Jesus respected his mom, because that was his mom. And though even though she was wrong, he knows that she loves him and she wants the best, and that they just need to not make a scene and then just go home. For some of us, it's a rocky relationship with our parents, we know. And when we talk about our moms, sometimes it's a weird situation. I'm not even gonna get into all the weird situations. But just remember, all of us are here because our moms did not abort us. Okay? All of us are here because our moms decided that for 9 months, or however many months, that they would carry us in their womb. And some of y'all say, well, I had a surrogate. Well, you know what? The mom had to participate with the surrogacy. Y'all know how much surrogacy costs? Our mothers, even though they may be wrong in so many things, And please understand, I'm not condoning abuse. I'm not saying that it's okay for mothers to abuse kids.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the respect factor. The respect factor has to be there. You can't love someone you don't respect. You can't. So even though you've got all your degrees, even though you've got all the money, even though you've got that perfect husband or wife or that good car, that good job, that good house, as in the words of Brother Kendrick, sit down and be humble. Respect your mama. You are never too big for your mama. So sit down and be humble.